God has not made you and me to be lone rangers in life, certainly not made us to be spiritual lone rangers, but He's given us one another. So a good friend is a comfort in need and a help in trouble.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ, Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Well, folks, we are continuing in our series in Ecclesiastes today, and we are dealing with something a little bit lighter than last week. But before we look at that, I want to remind us that in the book of Ecclesiastes, we have been considering two different perspectives, two different ways of living. One perspective or one way of living is under the sun. That is from the perspective of the life and events that take place in this world under the sun, and not necessarily respective of God in the eternal perspective of God and God's judgment, but just in terms of what we see, what we experience in this life under the sun. And that life, apart from God and apart from that eternal perspective, it says it is vain or meaningless or empty or like a vapor, that it's transitory, that it's here today and it's gone tomorrow, and it does not carry eternal weight. And because of that, many things about this life under the sun then are vain or empty, ultimately meaningless. But it also then speaks of another way of living, another perspective, and that is life in fear of the Lord. That there is a God, and He is bringing an eternal perspective to all the events of life under the sun. And that because of that, in fact, actually life is quite meaningful, eternally meaningful. And everything has eternal significance because God will have the last word with everyone and everything. So we've been looking at these two ways of living. And last week then we dealt with a very heavy topic, and I know it was, and that was death. And that's not a pleasant thing to think about, is it? But I'm not going to apologize for talking about death, because it is one, well, death and taxes, they say, actually, right? But it is an absolute certainty of life, isn't it? Is death. And in fact, that's one of the key subjects of the Scripture, is because death is real. Death is the consequence of sin. And because it is real, God has sent a Savior and a Deliverer. So death is not a pleasant topic, but it's one we must face and deal with, both under the sun, but most importantly, in fear of the Lord. And death, from the perspective of the fear of the Lord, is actually what? There's hope, because Jesus Christ has conquered death. So last week, a little heavy topic. This week, I'm going to say a little lighter fare. Not death this week, but friendship. A little lighter message for you today. Based on the passage of Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, in which we will see that a good friend is a comfort in need and a help in trouble. You know, a number of years ago, this message is appropriate for all of us here. But might I say, and I happen to know a little bit about men, being a man myself, I have found that I think that this topic can have special importance or significance for men. Because women, not to speak in stereotypical terms, but okay, I am going to speak in stereotypical terms. Women tend to be a little more relational than men. We were all created to be relational. But women especially tend to be a little more relational. Men tend to have a little bit more of a loner kind of approach sometimes, or even a lone ranger approach. Do we have any lone rangers in our congregation here today? All right, I see a few of you, okay? And you know what? I can relate, because I have a tendency toward being a lone ranger. Can somebody cue the William Tell overture here now, right? And so, but I do have a tendency for that. But that's not, now it's one thing to be independent, healthily independent, but it's another thing though to be too independent, right? Because God has not made us to be independent. He has made us for a relationship, first with Him, first and foremost with Him, but then also with one another. God has made us to need Him and to need one another. And so friendship, good friendship, is an important part of expressing who we are and what God has made us to be. God has not intended for us to live in isolation from one another. And I think this is particularly difficult sometimes for men. We have a tendency to be a little more independent to our detriment at times. In fact, there was a book a number of years ago called The Friendless American Male that talked about the difficulties that a lot of men have with forming friendships or having a friend. And you might be surprised at how many men would have to admit, if you ask them, you know, do you have a really good close friend? How many men would say, no, I don't? In fact, I was a little surprised. I wasn't totally surprised by this, but I was a little surprised by a good friend of mine. He told me that, and he lives down in Peoria. We grew up together down there. And he told me about the church where he attends there. There's a Saturday morning men's group that he attends there. And they were talking about this issue of friendships there. And of course, my friend, he has very rich friendships with me and some of the other guys in our group. And he was talking about that. And he was surprised to look around at some of these other men who were just kind of looking at him with like kind of this look of like surprise or amazement. Like, you have that good of friends? You know, you have friends that solid of a relationship there? And they say, and going around, and how many of those guys felt like they really didn't have a good friend that they could go and talk to like my friend has? So you see, God has made us for relationship with Him and with one another. And good friends are a powerful tool in God's arsenal for our spiritual growth and development. So we're going to talk about friendship then today. Friendship. First, friendship under the sun. Now I want to say something on this is that, as you know, one of the key themes in the book of Ecclesiastes has been the vanity of all things. How apart from the eternal perspective of God, things are vain, are empty, are meaningless. But I find it interesting that of all these topics that we've talked about, there is one topic in the book that the teacher touches on that he does not refer to as being vain or empty or meaningless. And that one topic is, what would you suppose? Friendship. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't say that there's vanity in friendship under the sun. We'll make of that what you will. But we want to look at this issue then, a friendship under the sun, and then some additional considerations for friendship in the fear of the Lord. Our passage, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. The teacher says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Talking about relationships and the value of human relationships, of friendships. And the first thing he tells is that friends can help us to achieve. Two are better off for one, for they can help each other succeed. How many of you here, and I'm not going to ask you to hold your hands up. If you want to, you can do that. But how many of you here have to admit that you may occasionally need a friendly little kick in the rear end? Anybody here? Okay, yeah. I think all of us can use a little push, a little encouragement at times, right? I think a good friend can be that push or that encouragement that we need sometimes to achieve or to succeed. Now, I know there are some people, you know, the self-starters here, they don't need any outside encouragement. They've got a plan, they want to do it, and they are go, 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 go. But you know what? Even those people need some encouragement and support sometimes too, don't they? But I know that most of us, though, you know what? We need someone to come along, a flesh and blood human being, to come along sometimes and encourage us to achieve, to do what we were made to do, what we can achieve, to help us to be all we can be. Hey, that would be a great slogan, advertising slogan. Wouldn't it be all you can be? Oh, wait a minute, that's been taken. Somebody took that. But I think they've moved on now. That used to be the army, right? Be all you can be. And then it became an army of one, which isn't that the opposite of kind of what we've been talking about here? But anyway, but no, to be all you can be. But no, God has made us to be and to do and to achieve. And friends then can come alongside us and encourage us. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. You know, sometimes just the insight or the perspective that a friend might have can encourage us or get us to think about something a little differently. Or sometimes it might be that the prayers of that friend, the insight of that friend, or dare I say, here's a word we don't like to use much, starts with an A, who knows what I'm going to talk about, being what? Accountable. Accountable to one another, right? So friends then can help us to achieve, to do what we can do. I read a story about someone, you may have heard the name Levi Strauss. Some of you might be wearing products made by the Levi Strauss company. But did you know, though, you know that name Levi Strauss, but you may not know the name Jacob Davis. Well, who's Jacob Davis? What was that about? Well, I can tell you this. Without Jacob Davis, you probably wouldn't be wearing Levi Strauss jeans today. Why is that? Well, because Levi Strauss originally, he had a fabric company. He made fabrics. And there was a man, a customer named Jacob Davis, who was a tailor, who would buy his fabric from Levi Strauss. So he would regularly buy then these bolts of cloth from the wholesale house of Levi Strauss. And Jacob had a customer who, I don't know what the man was doing, but this man always kept ripping the pockets of his pants that were made for him. And so this man, Jacob Davis, thought about, how can I strengthen the pockets of this man so he doesn't keep ripping the pockets of his pants? So he had an idea. I know. I will put little metal rivets on there to hold those things together, hold those pockets there. And it worked well. And so one day he was talking with Levi Strauss about that. He thought, this would be a great idea for pants, to have these pants with these little metal rivets in there to hold it. It would be strong. It would be rugged. But you know what? He didn't have the money it would take to file for the patents office. It was very expensive to do that at that time. So he came to Levi Strauss, gave him his idea for that, and decided, you know what? Let's work together on this. So they filed that together. They both jointly owned that patent. And the result, of course, would come to be known as the Levi Strauss jeans with the little metal rivets in the pockets there. But that was an example there of how two friends came together and helped one another to achieve or to succeed. So that's one of the values of friendship under the sun, is it can help us to achieve things in this life. Well, it's also true that friends can help us in trouble. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. They can help one another succeed. Verse 10, though, but if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Friends can help us when we are in trouble and we need to be lifted up. Now here, you can think of this in a very physical terms. I've told you before, remember that commercial from years back, the help, I've fallen and I can't get up? I used to kind of laugh about that. Well, you know, since I started volunteering with the fire department about, six, 7 years ago now, Skip, how many calls do we get about someone who's fallen and can't get up?
Quite a few.
All the time, right? A couple times a week, I bet, right? Easily. Sometimes someone falls, they need help getting up. Now, fortunately, they're able to, sometimes they have a medical alert, or they're able to get to a phone somehow or something, and they need help getting up. Sometimes there's another person there, but the person can't help. They need someone else to come and help that person get up. So you think about that, how dangerous that is to be in a situation where you have fallen or you're in trouble and you need help and you don't have anyone to help you. That is a terrible, vulnerable feeling, isn't it? Well, sometimes the trouble we're in isn't just falling down. We may fall down in other ways too, right? Fall down emotionally or spiritually. And we need someone to encourage us, to help us up. And woe to the one who does not have anyone there to lift him up. Now, some of you might be saying, "Now, wait a minute, Pastor. See, I don't need friends because, you see, I have the Lord. See, I have the Lord, so I don't need anybody else. I have the Lord." Well, is it true that God is with us, that he never leaves us or forsakes us, and he is the friend? What a friend, we just sang it earlier, what a friend we have in Jesus, right? It's true that God is there for us. He never leaves us or forsakes us. But one of the ways that God ministers to us is how? Through one another, through his people, right? And yeah, it's true sometimes that there may not be anyone else there and God is with us. But ordinarily, God works through his people, doesn't he? So friends can help us to achieve, but friends can be there to help us when we are in trouble and we need a helping hand. It's also true, though, that friends can help us in practical need. If there is need that we have, something that we cannot do for ourselves, a need that needs to be met, and they can come alongside and help us. Now, I can think of many examples of that, of how friends have come alongside and helped me in practical ways, right here in this church and outside of this church too, how people come alongside to help meet practical needs. And probably one of the best examples that I can think of this, and some of you will remember this, and maybe with fear and dread, and that is when I purchased my first home, and that was hard to believe, that was almost 9 years ago now, isn't it? I purchased my first home, and it was a wonder. It was a gift to me in that I was able to get this home at a very good price. But you know what? It needed some renovations. Anybody ever done a little home renovations here? Well, in this home, there were some renovations that needed to be done, and I was a first-time home buyer. And one of the lessons that first-time home buyers learn is that for every project that you think, okay, I think I'll do this, I think I'll do that, that project ends up easily costing twice as much as you thought and taking about three times longer than you thought it would, right? Well, see, I didn't know that yet. And so I think back and I think about everything that I wanted to do to that house, and I had visions. I was going to do that over the summer where it was basically practically ripping the house down to the foundation, almost literally in some instances, okay, and then starting over with things. And I envisioned doing all this. I had a budget and I had the time, and I discovered just how much work there really was to it. How about something as simple as installing new window dressing, right? And I'm looking at the person who came to my rescue for that. Right? It's just all the hard work that is involved in this. And I had no clue what I was getting into with that. But I look around and I see so many people who came to my rescue and helped. And somehow, again, I think... I think it's an example of a modern day miracle here, that how much of that it did get done in one summer. Practically the entire renovation of a house in one summer, because you came together and helped in that practical need. Or I can think of another time. You and some other friends outside of the church here too, you know, to help meet a practical need. And this was a few years back. I know this is shocking for some of you to hear this, but I had a surgery that I had been putting off for a long, long time. Remember that? It was a hernia surgery. Aren't surgery fun? Surgery's fun. You know, how could you not do that, right? But many years before, I'd injured myself. I needed to have this hernia surgery, and I just kind of put it off, okay? And, well, lo and behold, my employer ended up, and I should have gotten it done back then when I should have, okay, no excuses, I should have gotten it done then. However, then, my employer then at the time switched insurance, health insurance carriers, providers. Now, I know we're having debate now about the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, and all of that, but I would say there was one thing I think that was good that's come out of that, and that was this, remember this term, pre-existing conditions. Remember that? What a problem that was? Well, anyway, because my employer changed to this other insurance carrier, now this surgery that I needed was considered what? A pre-existing condition, meaning I wouldn't pay for it. Well, I finally got to the point where, like, okay, I have to get this. I had put this off 13 years, and I'm not going to go into detail about how I knew it was time to get this done, okay? But anyway, all right, this has to be done. And the insurance wasn't going to cover it, but it had to be done. So I had it done. And if you've had surgery lately, you know it's not cheap, is it? So again, this was about 7 years ago now. And then I think it all came, it was like over $40,000, of which insurance covered zero, right? But you know what? God provided, God supplied through that, through various people, including many of you here who came alongside and helped in that practical need. Some of it was giving, but others of it was advice about how to do it and got the bill lowered on things, all of that. So whether it was advice, giving, both, God provided, and that need was met. And I think, where would I have been without you folks, without my friend? So friends can help us achieve. Friends can help us in trouble. And friends can help us then too in practical need. Friends can also protect us physically, emotionally. Sometimes physical protection. Maybe sometimes it's an emotional protection or reputation protection. Right? Friends can help to protect us. As I read this and I was thinking about this, in the New Living Translation, it uses the expression there, back to back. It says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Isn't that a great picture of friends standing back to back to fight off that which is attacking and to conquer? And when I saw that, immediately I thought of how friends can protect one another, standing back to back. I thought of a story a good friend of mine told me a long time ago about his father. My friend Kevin, his father, his name was Keith. When Keith was a young man, he was in the military, and he had been assigned to St. Louis, the St. Louis area, for something. And so one day, Keith and his friend, us in the military, decided to go to a movie. And it was the daytime, and someone may have dropped them off, and they didn't really know exactly where they were or where it was, but it was daytime, and they went into the theater, and they saw the movie. And when they came out later, it had gotten dark. And as they came out, they realized they were in a very bad neighborhood. and it was dark. The street lights weren't working. They really weren't sure where they were or where they're going, how to get there. And they were getting some looks from people like, you know, like, who are you or what are you doing here? And it was a very frightening thing for them. And so they actually stood back, literally back to back, all right, and lit matches. It's kind of a funny picture. Matches. They had matches back to back, and they were literally going down the street like that, back to back, until they got to a well-lit area and they could see where they were and where they needed to go then. So these friends, literally, they had one another's back. There's that expression, they have one another's back, right? They literally had one another's back. And there is a case where I am allowing you to use the word literally because you're using it correctly, because they were literally back to back. So friends can protect us as well. Friends also, though, can form a strong cord. Friends are a strong cord. So if two friends can be such a help, then what about three friends? Or even more, right? If two friends are a great help, what are three friends? It's like a three-corded rope. That's powerful, that's strong, isn't it? Now, some have made of this, and that's okay. Some have made of this of like a marriage application of a husband and wife as like the two friends, and the third string, if you, their third cord, or the third friend being God in the relationship. So sometimes you'll see this quoted in weddings. You may see that. And you know what? I'm okay with thinking of it that way, but I don't think that's what the teacher had in mind here. He's talking about friendships that if two are good friends, how much more so then are three friends? But it is true, though, in a good marriage, hopefully a husband and wife are good friends, and you do have that third friend of God in the relationship, right? But friends are a strong cord. And here is where I, again, am so great. I am grateful to God for the friends that He has given me. I'm looking at some of them here in this church body here. But I also think then, too, of some friends that I have that we've known each other. One friend since we were literally knee-high to a grasshopper. Okay, no, we were not literally knee-high to a grasshopper, okay? No. But I've known each other since we were very young. And some others that came along in high school. And we've maintained that relationship. We call this group of friends, we call ourselves, I know this is a very original term, it's the gang, okay? By getting the gang together. And the gang has been a wonderful source of encouragement to me and strength to me. And sometimes, yeah, a little accountability as well, right? But that's good friendship. So I think of, boy, now there is a strong cord. The gang is a strong cord in my life. And I wonder, where would I be without their encouragement, without their friendship? Where would I be without your encouragement and your friendship to me? Friends are a strong cord. Well, there is friendship under the sun. I want us to think for a little bit about friendship then in fear of the Lord. And as we go through this, it's going to look very much like we've just seen, but I want us to think in terms of our spiritual life, our walk with Christ. How valuable are friends in our walk with Christ? Let's think about that. Friendship and fear of the Lord. First of all, friends can help us to achieve. You know, it is good friends who can come alongside us, help us to achieve not vain purposes, but God's purposes, eternal purposes. You see, God has purposes and plans for each one of us here. Seems to me there's a verse somewhere in the Bible that says a little something about God planning good works for us even before the foundation of the world, for us to walk in them, right? And God has not intended for us to be spiritual lone rangers out there riding the lone prairie. But he has made us to walk together, to accomplish and to achieve his purposes together, God's eternal purposes together. Can any one of us here achieve God's purposes for the church all by ourselves? Absolutely not. We need one another. Like, there's a man named Stu Weber. He was in the military, is a strong military background, and he will often speak at men's conferences here. But here he speaks, he reflects back on his experiences in the military and how that can apply then too in the church in coming together to accomplish God's purposes. But he talks about, he says, he remembers in 1967, he remembers a grizzled old non-com at Fort Benning, Georgia, taught this to a group of troops. He said, "Never go into battle alone. Never go into battle alone." So the war in Vietnam was building to its peak, and one stop for young Army officers was the U.S. Army Ranger School at Fort Benning. And this venerable, steely-eyed veteran told us that the next 9 weeks would test out metal. It would test their mettle as it had never been tested. The sergeant said that many would not make the grade. It was just too tough. And it turned out he was right, because of the 287 in the formation that day, only 110 finished the 9 weeks. He says, "I can still hear that raspy voice cutting through the morning humidity like a serrated blade. We are here to save your lives," he preached. "We're going to see to it that you overcome all your natural fears, especially of height and water. And we're going to show you just how much incredible stress the human mind and body can endure. And when we're finished with you, you will be the U.S. Army's best. You will not only survive in combat, you will accomplish your mission." And then before he dismissed the formation, the hardened Ranger sergeant announced our first assignment. "We'd steeled ourselves for something really tough, running 10 miles in full battle gear or rappelling down a sheer cliff." So the non-com's first order caught us off guard. He told us to find a buddy. Some of us would have preferred the cliff. But he said, "This is step one," he growled. "You need to find yourself a ranger buddy. And you will stick together. You will never leave each other. You will encourage each other. And as necessary, you will carry each other." It was the Army's way of saying, "Difficult assignments require a friend. Together is better. You need to find someone to help you accomplish the tough course ahead." There's a good friend of mine. He has spoken here. Many of you know Chuck Beckler. And sometimes when we text one another about various things, we'll end the text with Currahee. C-U-R-R-A-H-E-E. Currahee, what is that? Well, that's a little code that we have. It's about this being this friend that sticks together to help one another, to see through tough times together with one another. Goes back to, there's a series that I love this series. I introduced it to, I showed it, we watched it together then. It's called HBO's series Band of Brothers. I don't know if any of you have seen that. It's a wonderful true story based on the experiences of Easy Company from their training in Georgia in 1942 all the way through the D-Day landings in 1944 and on to the end of World War II. And there are a lot of powerful spiritual parallels in this war, this battle that they were fighting. And one of the motto of Easy Company was Currahee. Currahee was a mountain that in their training days they had to run up it, and it was 3 miles up, 3 miles down, right? And so it became this Currahee. It was their rallying cry for sticking together, doing the tough stuff together, holding one accountable, helping one another, doing the tough stuff together. And so we always, when we text each other, it's always karehi, right? So friends can help us to achieve what God has for us. Friends can help us in trouble. Anybody here ever been in trouble? Spiritual trouble? You need someone to come alongside and give you a helping hand to encourage you, to tell you that God is not finished with you yet, that God still has purpose, that God can forgive even that. Friends help us achieve. Friends help us in trouble. We all need spiritual encouragement. At this end, friends can help us in practical need. And I've told you the ways that you have helped meet my needs. I can think then too of the many examples of how you have come alongside to help with I hate to make too much of a distinction. Practical need and spiritual need. Well, practical needs are spiritual, aren't they? And spiritual needs are practical, aren't they? But you have. You've come along. And I hope I've come alongside some of you. Friends help us to achieve God's purposes. Friends help us in trouble when we need some spiritual encouragement. Friends help us in practical need. Friends help protect us. We're engaged in warfare, aren't we? Spiritual warfare. There's an enemy of our souls who wishes to destroy you, destroy the church. We're living in an increasingly hostile culture. We need friends to protect us, someone who has your back. See, we're living in that dark world, whereas maybe we need to sometimes go be literally back to back. Okay, maybe not literally back to back. Where we need to be back to back, holding out the match of Christ's light in the darkness, right? Friends then are a strong cord. If two friends are strong, how much more so three? How much stronger is a whole church body together? You know, the scriptures have a lot to say about one another, how we are to relate to one another, to care for one another. Friends then can be a strong cord. Guys, you may have noticed this. If you haven't, I encourage you to check it out next time. You go into the men's bathroom over here. By the way, I've noticed that there tends to be differences between men's bathrooms and women's bathrooms. I'm not going to go into all the details. But I will simply say, women's bathrooms tend to be very decorated, nicely decorated, more pleasant places, okay? Men's bathroom, it's all about utilitarian need, practical need, all right? This is what we do. We don't really care about beautifying the place. So women's restrooms, you got all these little posters or signs up and these things, and even have some special lights in the women's bathroom over here. Nice soothing light in there. Men's bathroom is a harsh fluorescent light. You go in, you take care of business, and you get out, right? But a while back, someone put a little... We have our own artwork in the bathroom now. I don't know if you even noticed it. I think I know who put it up there. I'm not sure, but I think I know. But when you go in there, to your left, there's our... See, we can have artwork in the bathroom too, guys. And you know what ours is? It's this verse from Ecclesiastes about the three-corded strand, or three-strand cord is strong. So God has made us for relationship with one another. This is a good study for you. Some of you want to do this sometimes. Do you know that the one another commandments in Scripture, there are 59 of them where the word, where the phrase one another occurs. And if you look on this here, it's like, boy, imagine if we were obedient to this, what a strong cord that would be, right? What are some of those one anothers? Well, Like I said, the one that occurs more often than any other is what?
Love.
Love one another. How about this? Be at peace with one another. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another. Live in harmony with one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Accept one another. Instruct one another. Serve one another. Carry one another's burdens. Be patient with one another. Forgive one another. Submit to one another. Teach one another. Bear with one another. Encourage one another. Build up one another. Spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Pray for one another. Well, there's more. There's your homework assignment. Look up all the one another commandments and imagine what a strong cord would that be in our church if we're obedient to God's word in these things. So what? God has not made you and me to be lone rangers in life, certainly not made us to be spiritual lone rangers, but He's given us one another. So a good friend is a comfort, a need, and a help in trouble. So I want to ask you, do you have a good friend? The first friend and the best friend is Jesus. But He has made us, though, to be in relationship with one another. Do you have a good friend? It's been said, if you don't have a friend, it's been said the best way to find a friend is to be a friend. Be a friend to someone. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this instruction we have in Your word. Lord, You have made us to walk with You and to walk with You with one another. So God, I pray that You would build up the friendships in this church body that we might accomplish Your purposes, that we would come along one side and aside one another and help one another, that we would protect one another, and that, Lord, we would be that strong cord. May Wonder Lake Bible Church, Lord, be a strong cord with the Lord Jesus Christ at the center. And it is in His name we pray. Amen.